Let's go back to the book of Daniel this morning, Daniel chapter 6. This is a fascinating story, isn't it? And I've read it, and you've read it lots of times before. In fact, I doubt there's anybody in the building that hasn't who hasn't listened to a message on Daniel in the lion's den. And I'm going to repeat the story to you, and in doing so, I'm going to give you some key words to sort of fix some things in your minds. And the first word is, of course, the word person. We're talking about Daniel. His name means God is my judge. God is my judge. About 7 years have passed now since Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were taken captive out of Jerusalem and in the captivity in Babylon. 70 years. So actually Daniel he's not a young man now. He's about 80 or somewhere thereabouts. And he's seen a lot during his lifetime. Most of his life has been lived in Babylon. He's lived in the nation of Judah. He's lived under the authority of the Babylonians. And now he's living under the authority and under the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. So he's seen a lot. A lot. You think of all the storms that he had weathered, of all the trials that he endured, all the political turmoil that he had witnessed. And over again, he had seen a kingdom rise and a kingdom fall. But Daniel, being the man of God, he realized that no kingdom can rise unless God causes it to rise. And no kingdom will fall unless God appoints it to fall. No ruler can take the position of authority unless God puts him there. And no man will be removed from that position of authority unless God removes him. So Daniel, he's God's servant. He is a prophet of the Lord. He's seen a lot during his lifetime. Here's a man who's about 80 years of age. His name means God is my judge. That's the first word, person. The second word is president. As our brother read, there are three presidents that King Darius set over his kingdom. Darius is a 62-year-old ruler. So he's actually younger than Daniel. And Darius, he set these three presidents over the kingdom with 120 princes below them to look after his affairs, to look after his finances. This is a vast kingdom. And you need to understand the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, up until this point in history, it's the largest kingdom that has ever existed. It is an expansive kingdom. And of course, this man, Darius, he's just one man. And he's got business interests, he's got financial interests throughout the kingdom, and so he appoints three presidents, and then 120 princes to look after his finances. But the man that he makes to be the leading president is Daniel. Because Daniel is a man of integrity. Daniel is a man that he trusts. Daniel is a man who was trusted by Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel is a man who is trusted by Belshazzar. And you'll remember at the end of Daniel chapter 5, that's when Belshazzar lost his life and lost his kingdom. But Daniel had served him faithfully. And now Daniel he's been elevated to the very number one position under King Darius of the Medes and the Persians. He did what he did with all of his heart, with all of his soul. And there's a good practical lesson for each of us to learn from this as the people of God. Whatever your job is, whatever it is that you set out to do, do it with all your might. Here's Daniel. He's a Jew. He's a man who worships the Lord. He's in the midst of a kingdom of people who hate God. You understand that? These are people who are idolaters. They don't believe on the Son of God like Daniel does. Daniel is looking by faith to the Lord Jesus. He knows that God's Son is coming into the world. And yet Daniel has been taken into captivity. Daniel has been taken away from his family. He and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego ripped away from the arms of their parents, taken into a heathen land. Why, he could have become bitter. He could have said, I don't deserve this. Why am I doing here? What am I doing in this place? He could have said to King Darius, you want me to serve you? You've got another thing coming. I'm not going to help you in your enterprises. I have no interest in assisting you. But Daniel wasn't like that. He's a man of integrity. He's a man who always seeks to do the right thing. That's the way we're to be in this world. You know, we're told in the Scriptures to adorn the gospel in all things. Listen, we are the people of God. We are the elect of God. We are the redeemed of God. We're the called of the Spirit. And whatever vocation we find ourselves in, whatever predicament we may find ourselves in life, we understand a sovereign God has put us there. So do whatever God gives you to do to the very best of your ability for His glory. For His glory. It would have been easy for Daniel to have had a bad attitude. But he didn't. The king saw him. He detected his honesty. He's a man of integrity. And so he gets promoted. Promoted. And then finally he goes all the way to the top. He's one of three presidents. And as you read, actually here's what the king had in mind, to do away with the other two presidents and Daniel would run it all. And he had good reason for thinking that way, because as we've read through this, really Daniel's the only honest man he's got in his kingdom. He's the only honest man that he's got surrounding him. He's the only honest man on the presidency. The rest of them are crooks. And they're out for themselves. Only Daniel has the best interest of the king at heart. And so Darius, he trusted Daniel from beginning to end. Even when Darius was caught in the trap of the other governors, the other presidents, he never questioned the integrity of Daniel. He knew in his heart, Daniel is going to seek to do the right thing. And it's just practical advice. Always do the right thing, and you don't have to look over your shoulder and wonder who might have seen what I did. Just do the right thing. He's the third president. And verse 3 says, and here's the third word, preferred. He's preferred. He was such an unusual man. That King Darius preferred him. He preferred him over the other two presidents. He's an outstanding man. He's a man of such greatness, a man of such honesty. That King Darius preferred Daniel over all the others because Daniel is looking after his interests. He's preferred. But there was a plot. Fourth word. See, they're all beginning with P. You catching on? They're all beginning with P. Here's the plot. The other presidents were jealous of Daniel. And they looked for any weakness that they could find in this man. But they couldn't find any weakness except this. He was faithful to his God. He loved the Lord. The Word of God meant everything to him. That's the only thing they could find. So, here's the plot. We will make a law. We'll write it up, get the king to sign it, get him to seal it. And this is what the law will be. If anybody asks anything of any man or God for 30 days, except for the king, you got to ask the king. If you want something, you'll ask the king. You can't ask your husband, you can't ask your wife. You can't ask your boss, the boss can't ask the laborer. If you ask anything of anybody else except the king, it's the lion's den for you. 30 days. That's the plot. This den of lions, it's not just one or two lions. Hey, that'd be more than I'd want to deal with anyway. I wouldn't even want to deal with one lion. But there are so many lions that when in the end, when Darius has these other men cast in there with their wives and their children, it says the lions broke their bones before they ever hit the bottom. So there are a lot of lions here. That's the penalty that they wrote out for the king to sign. If any man ask anything of any God or man for 30 days. Well, then, that's the precept. Which in verse 8, here's the precept. Look at it again. Now, O king, they present it to the king. Establish the decree. Sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Here's the precept. Now, they didn't make laws lightly. They didn't enter into laws thoughtlessly. Because whenever a law was signed in the decree, it was unchangeable. That's the laws of the Medes and the Persians. And you can read down through here, and as Brother Ron read, perhaps you notice how many times this was said according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. So they wouldn't write out a law, you know, unless it was really serious. Because once a law was enacted, and once the king put his seal to it, that law could not be reversed. That's the precept. Well, so they present this to the king, and here's the sixth word is the word pride. They present this to the king. And it does appeal to his pride. Okay, king. Here's the law. We think you'll like it. If anybody asks anything of any god or man for 30 days, except for you, O king, O great king, it's the lion's den for them. You're so great, O king. We want to honor you this way. Oh, and his chest swelled a little, you know. Boy, this is good. This will be great. And he thinks it's all about exalting him. He has no thoughts about anybody else. Especially, he has no thoughts about the most trusted man in the kingdom, Daniel. Which brings me to the next word, which is perseverance. It's Daniel. Here's a trial of Daniel's faith. Now, as you know the story, and my brother read it to us a while ago, Daniel, he continued to do just like he'd been doing. He goes up into his room. He opens the, the doors toward Jerusalem. Why did he do that? Because that's where the sacrifice was made. At the temple. What was so special about the temple? That's where God met with man and man met with God. That's where the blood was offered. That's where the sacrifices were offered. That's where the burnt offerings were offered. Every morning and every evening, the sacrifice of a lamb. A lamb in the morning at 9 o'clock. A lamb in the evening at 9 o'clock. Or 3 o'clock, rather. That's where the blood was shed. And Daniel can't be there. So he opens his doors toward Jerusalem. He faces that direction where God is worshipped. And he kneels down at 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and 3 o'clock every day. And he worships God. And he asks his petitions of God. But now what will he do? Say, if you get caught doing this, it's the lion's den for you. Well, I want you to notice that Daniel didn't go down into the middle of Main Street and then put out his prayer cloth and kneel and pray there. No, he wouldn't do that because he's not going to be a foolish martyr. He's not going to put his religion on display. You know what he does? He just keeps on doing what he's been doing. You say, but he could have shut the doors and still worshiped God. But that would have shown his fear. That would have shown that he's not really a man of integrity. He's a man who's protecting himself. So what does he do? He just keeps on doing what he's always done. Worshiping God. You see, that's what the people of God do. We just keep on doing what we always are doing. We are to be found worshiping the Lord our God through Jesus Christ the Lord. We're not putting on a show for anybody. This is not to manifest our great religiosity. We just worship. We worship God through Jesus Christ the Lord. And so here's Daniel. He just keeps on doing what he's been doing. He's persevering. He's persevering. And you'll notice in as he read verse 10, it says, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed. It wasn't like he didn't know it had been signed. He knew perfectly well. And I expect that when Daniel opened his windows, and he looked down, I expect he could see those guys down there just looking up, just gawking at him. Well, what will he do? And he just continues to worship the Lord like he had been doing. Here's an example of a man who knows God and believes God and will not compromise what he believes. In his persevering in worship, he is saying this, I cannot help but continue to worship the Lord, and I'm willing to die for the one I worship. I'm willing to sacrifice everything for the Lord. I love Him. I owe everything to Him. I owe Him my life. He saved me by His grace. He chose me in eternity past. And all the sacrifices that have died down through the years on Jewish altars, they all point to His Son who's going to come in the world to bear my sins away. I will not deny the God I love and worship. I will stand firm. That's what Daniel's saying. That's perseverance. And so the next word is prosecution. They laid the trap for the king, King Darius. He's blinded by his pride. He thinks only of himself. He enacts this law, this precept. And now the enemies of Daniel come before him to present to the king their charges against Daniel. Now the law wasn't fair. It wasn't fair. It wasn't a good law. But it was a law that could not be reversed. This is a law that cannot be reversed. Was Daniel guilty of breaking the law? Anybody? Well, sure. Sure he was guilty of breaking the law. What did the law say? You'll not ask anything of any man or any god for 30 days. Did Daniel ask anything of his God? Absolutely. Did he break the law? Yes. Was he guilty? Yes. No question about it. You hang on to that for a minute. I'll come back to it. Well, here's the predicament. Here's the king. He now realizes what he's done. And look at verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, they came to him and said, well, king, you know, that law you signed, it's irreversible. We remind you of that. So, yeah, that's correct. He's still saying a lie. Yeah, that's right. And they said, that Daniel, he broke your law. He broke your law. And the king is devastated. Oh, I got blindsided. And you know who he blames? Himself. And this is good. I'll give him credit for this. I'll give him credit for this. You see, verse 14, then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. With himself. He didn't say, oh, those presidents, all those 120 princes. No, he said, this is my fault. This is my fault. And here's a predicament. Or another good word is, here's a dilemma. Here's the dilemma that faced him. And here's the name, here's the title of the message. Darius, Daniel, and the dilemma. And here's the dilemma. Here's the predicament. Here's the predicament he's in. He loves Daniel. He wants to spare Daniel. He wants to save Daniel. But the law says Daniel has to die. And it's the law of the Medes and the Persians that cannot be reversed. Here's the predicament he faces. And he's all day long he studied. Oh, how can I change this? How can it be that this Daniel that I love and respect and admire, this man of integrity, how can this man be spared, and yet the law that I signed into decree, how can it be honored and upheld? What a dilemma. What a predicament. He's really between a rock and a hard place. I want to save this man, but I've got to honor my law. What am I to do? How can this be resolved? And he studies all day long. I'm sure he probably got law books down and looked through, you know, going through all the old statutes and so forth and so on. This can't be reversed, King. So, here's the penalty. Daniel is cast into the den of lions. One writer said these dens were they were in caves by a hillside. There was an opening at the top to where they could throw food down to the lions and also throw victims to the lions. And then there was a hole in the side where the guy who kept the lions could take the lions in and that sort of thing. And here's the penalty. Daniel's cast into the den of lions. Oh, but here's another word. Preservation. God preserved him. God kept him. Now all night long the king walked the floor. And I'm sure they came to him from the kitchen and said, I made you a sandwich. No, I don't want to eat food. I can't eat. We got some musicians, I'll get it out, musicians to kind of calm your nerves. I don't want them. Send them away. And he just paced the floor all night long. Will Daniel be devoured? Well, Daniel believed the Lord. And even Darius believed that God would spare him. And God did spare Daniel. But let me say this. There are a lot of times when God's not pleased to spare His servants. Isaiah, they had him stretched out and they sawed him in two. There one, they got a cross saw or whatever you call it, one on one side, one on the other. They said, here we go. And God didn't stop them. God could have stopped them, but He didn't. When they stoned Stephen, who was calling upon the Lord, God could have stopped them, but He didn't stop it. When the head of John the Baptist was laid down and the axe was ready to fall and cut his head off so that his head could be put on a charger and taken inside to a young lady who that was her desire to give to the queen, God could have stopped it, but He didn't. We live just exactly as long as God ordains for us to live, and then we die. And this was not the hour of Daniel's death. And he's preserved. And the king goes early in the morning. Oh, Daniel! Daniel! Servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And he waited for an answer. Oh, please answer. Please. Oh, King, live forever. Oh, King, live forever. Then there's the punishment of the evildoers. And then the proclamation. Here's what the king says. King Darius says, I make another decree. Everybody worship Daniel's God. But you know what? You can make a law for everybody to worship God. But everybody's not going to worship God because a law is made for you to worship God. You'll only worship God if He works in the heart and makes you to worship Him. And I noticed something also about this. Darius, he said, I make a law that throughout every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. He didn't say before my God. He said Daniel's God. You see, maybe today you're sitting here saying, well, boy, that's the preacher's God. Wait a minute. Why don't you worship God? Oh, would to God He would bring you to bow at the feet of Christ Jesus. And He'd be your Lord and your Savior, like Thomas said. Remember when Thomas saw the Lord there after He had appeared to the disciples and Thomas wasn't there, and then the next time Thomas was there and he said, my Lord and my God. Darius didn't say, my Lord and my God. He said, Daniel's Lord and Daniel's God. Oh, may He be your Lord, your Savior, your Redeemer. So there's the proclamation and the last word, and if I've given them all, it's 14 of them. Here's the word prosperity. Daniel prospered. My, what an interesting story. But there's more here than just practical lessons for believers. You know, the Savior said to the Jews, He said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and these are they that testify of me. Now, here's what our business is, to look into this chapter and see Christ Jesus, to see the gospel. So the issue is, are you able Even now, so far in the message, are you able to see the Lord Jesus and His sacrifice in this chapter of Daniel, chapter 6? Well, let me give it to you. Here it is. First of all, just like Darius loved Daniel and cared about Daniel, God has a people. He's loved them before the foundation of the world. They are a preferred people. Just like Daniel was preferred, it says in the Scripture. In verse 3, then this Daniel was preferred. God has a preferred people. But wait, it's not because we're a people of integrity or a people of honesty or a people who are good, but solely according to the purpose of God's grace, He has reserved unto Himself a people. There's a preferred people in this world. They're preferred from old eternity. It's an elect number given to Jesus Christ in the covenant of grace. Chosen out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. The Apostle Paul said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Our Lord said to His disciples, you didn't choose me. I chose you. God said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and he said, you've been chosen by God before the world began unto salvation. So God has a people, a preferred people, not due to any goodness in us, but solely according to His purpose of grace, He set apart a people unto salvation. Secondly, something happened. These people that God chose unto salvation broke His law. Now, in the case with Daniel, he broke the law of King Darius. Now, that was a bad law. But it was a law nevertheless. Well, we have broken God's law. And God's laws are good and righteous and holy and just. God's laws say, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The laws of God are good. The law reveals our sin. It's the mirror into which we look to see our transgressions against God. The law is good. We're bad. We're bad. Now, there's a price to pay for breaking the law. You know what that price is? It's death. Daniel, you've broken my law. You've got to go in the den of lions. Here's the penalty for disobedience is death. What is the penalty for disobeying God's law? It's death. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth shall die. God said to Adam, in the day you eat of that forbidden fruit, thou shalt surely die. Well then, is there anything that can be done to spare sinners the death penalty? Remember, in the case of King Darius, the law he enacted could not be altered, the law of the Medes and the Persians. No way to reverse it. What was written was written. When a law was made, it stood fast. There was no changing it. And even though he tried to find a way to work things out to where he could save Daniel and still fulfill the penalty of the law, it couldn't be found. Hey, you listen to me. God Almighty, holy, righteous, just, He must punish sin. And if ever there was, and I know the word dilemma shouldn't be used with reference to God, but if I may put it this way, if ever there was a divine dilemma, it was this. Here it is. How can God be just and holy and righteous? Not compromise His law, nor the penalty of violating His law, which is death. How can God be just and holy and righteous? And here are people that He loves. He's chosen them unto salvation. Yet they've sinned and the law says they've got to die. So how can God be just and justify the ungodly? And King Darius could not find the answer to that dilemma. But the gospel gives us the answer. A substitute will die in our place. That's the beauty of the gospel. You see, God doesn't lessen His law. He doesn't reverse His law. He doesn't change His law. He doesn't water down His law. God's law says the soul that sinneth shall die, and the law will be fulfilled. It will be answered. The penalty of the law will be paid.
Amen.
And here's these elect people, a preferred people, preferred in Christ Jesus before the world began, a people out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. And God loves them with an everlasting love. Just like He said to Jeremiah, I've loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore in loving kindness have I drawn thee. So here's God's love for His people, and here's God's law that's been violated. What shall be done? A worthy substitute comes into the world. And lo, 'twas the Son of God. 'Twas God Himself who took God, who took into union with Him humanity. And what happened to Him? He died. Because the penalty for sin is death. Well, for whom did He die? Sinners. He died in the stead of His people. He died in the stead of His church. He died in the stead of people who deserved to die, who would have died had He not died in their place. God found the substitute. And God said, release them from going down to the pit. We're not going to be cast into the den of lions, the lions of God's wrath and God's justice, because Christ Jesus has been cast in already.
Amen.
And He's already suffered the full penalty for our sin. I tell you, twice payment God will not demand. First in my bleeding surety's hand and then again in mine. Can't be.
Amen.
The debt's been paid by Christ. And all for whom He died go free. Listen, no lion's den for you. Oh, what good news. No lion's den for you. Even though you've broken God's law countless times, somebody else went in for you. Somebody else died your death. Somebody else suffered the wrath. And you get off scot-free. That's the beauty of the gospel. You're talking about a message of grace. A message of mercy. It's this message. We're spared the death penalty because somebody else died in our stead. Scripture says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. When we were under the sentence of death, God did something. He sent His Son. He found the way to redeem and save us. And yet His law, it still remains intact. Our God has upheld the honors and the integrity of His own law. So this matter of salvation is not God weakening the law. There's not the slightest bit of compromise on God's part. He honored the law. Our Lord Jesus is the end of the law for righteousness to everybody who believes. Do you believe? Bless the name of God, I believe.
Amen.
I believe Him. And I say to you, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And I tell you, rather than that den of lions, we're going to glory. We're going to glory. To be with the Savior forever. Boy, that's good news. That's good news for poor sinners. Okay, let's sing a hymn.